When he was a member of the Nashville Sounds last year, we enjoyed our conversation with left-handed pitcher Zach Curtis. He is now on the line with us on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. I believe he's a lefty. I don't know if I just misspoke or not, but he is now on the line with us, played at MTSU, and he is now the new head baseball coach at Loretto High School. Zach, how you doing?
Guys, I'm doing great. I'm sitting on a golf course, so I can't complain. How y'all doing?
Yeah, thanks for rubbing that in our face as we sit here and work. It's a beautiful day outside, so how is your golf game?
It's not too bad. I just got done 9. I'm only 2 over, so I can't complain. I can get better, though.
Are you playing down south of us? Where are you?
I'm in Rogersville, Alabama. So from Loretto, it's only about 30 minutes. My wife's grandmother lives down here. She's got a river house, so I come down here sometimes and golf and just have some away time and just me time.
Good for you.
Who's better, you or Robbie Stanley?
Oh, God. I don't know what Robbie would say, but I would definitely say myself. Funny story, when we were in high school, we were at Shelby Park, and I thought I put the brake on and got the emergency brake around the hill, and I did not, and it started to go backwards. And Robbie, thinking that he's Superman, tried to stop the cart just barehanded, and it hit him, and he fell straight into the cart, and it kept rolling.
Oh. Yeah, that was.
So I always told. I have a lot of funny stories about Robbie, but I hold that one dear to my heart.
That was not a good plan by him. I'm sure he's never tried that again.
I don't think he has.
Was this an easy decision? We know that you were kind of going back and forth, bouncing from the minors up to the big leagues, and kind of playing that game that a lot of guys have played throughout their career. Was this the right time? Was it an easy decision, hard decision? Kind of take us through that.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it was an easy decision. I don't think anybody that loves the game, that has the opportunity to play it, it's not an easy decision to walk away. But was it the right decision? I think so. Was it the right time? I think so. And with everything that's happened this year, with the pandemic, what's going on in baseball right now, to me, everything kind of fell into place the way it was supposed to. And when this job opportunity came available, I had to. Having 2 kids, a wife, and having a family, I want to be a dad. I want to be a husband. So, and to have the opportunity to coach a group of kids in a program like Loretto with the success they've had lately and the success we're going to continue to have, I think it was a no-brainer for me to do this.
How does it make you feel knowing that, there's no minor league baseball this year? Who knows what it's going to look like, as you mentioned? We are going through a global pandemic. What the scene is going to look like moving forward, there's going to be probably lower levels of minor league baseball that are going to absolutely disappear. Here's a guy we're talking to and you that was cutting his teeth and trying to make an impression and get attention brought upon yourself by coming up through those systems. So what does it mean to you to know that probably some of those systems and places you've seen and played for may not exist anymore?
Yeah, I mean, it's heartbreaking, to be honest. I mean, when it comes down to it, the way I think about it is not only are you taken away from opportunities to have players experience professional baseball and enjoy that and actually have the shot. If I didn't have the lower level systems, I wouldn't have got the recognition or the time to show my abilities and actually get my shot. I mean, so, but then also you think about the cities that it's going to affect. Some of these cities, and I've played in with low A and short season, baseball is all they have. Baseball is, I mean, the heart and soul of those communities. And when you take that away, it's just sad to think about have to go through to pick themselves back up and find something and look forward to when it comes April all the way through September. So it's definitely sad. It wasn't that way. I wish they'd make more teams. I think there's a lot of guys that go unseen because there's just not enough spots. And I think that's what makes minor league baseball so good is everybody's trying to work for a job. There's always someone trying to come for your spot, and even the big leaguers understand that. There's guys in the minor league system that are itching to get up there, and like I said, I was very fortunate to get called up from high A, so if you take away some of those teams, who knows what would have happened in my career. So it's definitely a sad time in baseball right now to have these teams kind of get taken away.
I believe you were at Hendersonville with Robbie. How did this whole opportunity at Loretto open up, and why was this the right place for you to start the next chapter in your life?
Yeah, so when I got released back last July, kind of looking for teams to pick up, and I knew there wasn't a lot of season left. Well, I always do lessons during the off season, and someone just approached me and just said, "Hey, what about subbing? You just kind of have to hang out at the high school. You can just hang out and be the substitute teacher." Started doing it. I did it. But when I started doing it, I got to know the head coach a lot better. I knew him from living in Loretto for a while, but he just talked to me. He said, "I don't think I have too much longer." And I told him, I said, "Listen, I said, if this is something you would consider, I said, I don't know how much longer I'll play. You never know. But I would definitely love to start coaching when I'm done. I can't just give up baseball." And he said, "Well, think about this." He said, "If nothing comes this year and you decide to not play," he said, "how about we try to get you on staff next year? You work under me for a year. Tire, we'll see where we can go, and hopefully you can get the head coaching job." Well, fast forward to a month and a half ago, after the season ended and everything kind of happened, he just decided it was the best time for him to step away and next part of his life. And when it happened, he called me and just said, "Hey, I just wanted to let you know I'm retiring. And I'm going to as the next Loretto." And, I mean, it was to all of us, really, that he retired. But I was very honored that his first choice is to lead his program that he's built up to what it is now. So it was definitely an easy decision when they offered me the job, because it's a family-oriented, like, community. They love their sports. They love their programs up and down. And the success they have, it just – when people are successful, everybody's drawn to it. So, I love success. I'm built around, so it was a very easy decision once I got offered the job.
We're talking to Zach Curtis, former major league pitcher, grew up here. Hendersonville High School, Middle Tennessee, is where he played college ball. Zach, he's now the head coach at Loretto High School. Zach, I was impressed. I do the broadcasts of the high school championship games each year, and sadly, of course, it couldn't happen this particular season. But I was so impressed with Loretto. We've known David Weathers for a long time. His son Ryan, of course, recently passed through there. He was such a dominant high school player, and now he is on into the minor leagues. But I was impressed that they came back the next year. They had another really good team, even if they didn't have Ryan. So that really shows in a small town how much they love baseball and how much they've really developed a program down there.
No, they definitely have. And David's a very big part of that. David actually is going to be one of my assistant coaches. He accepted to stay back on with me and help me through this transition and stuff like that. So to have a guy like him with that much experience helps a lot. I mean, what other high school program has a 22-year big leaguer World Series winner on staff that can just give them to own the game and not just the tips and tricks to throw hard or do this? He gives them how to play baseball, how to think baseball, and they've built it from the ground up. I mean, this baseball community is huge, and they love it, and they rally behind it. Every year they produce. Because the one thing these kids do and these young men do is they compete. They don't care who they're playing. They don't care if they're playing a 3A school of like Farragut out of Knoxville or they're playing Summertown or Crosstown Rival. They're going to treat it as they expect to win every single game.
Zach, your perspective is interesting here because we've talked about your story before. You had to work hard to get to the major leagues, to earn the big league salary. And sometimes we probably don't think about it enough. You see the average Major League Baseball salary and it's X dollars and it looks really good, but there are a ton of players like yourself that work very hard, play for a few years and never earn the huge dollars, but players like yourself make up a huge percentage of the league. So as you look at what's happening just from your perspective right now, it's got to be frustrating as somebody who loves the game that they can't get on the same page and at least get through this season with all the challenges.
No, it definitely is. It's one of those things. I understand the business, and that's the hard part for a lot of guys, especially when I first came up. I still was just naive to it and believed that it was just a game. And I treated it as that. But there's definitely a very big business side to it. I mean, making billions and billions of dollars as an entire league can get tricky sometimes. But I think for the sake of baseball and the sake of getting guys back on the field, the players want to play. I still talk to guys every other day that I've played with, and they're just itching to get back. Everybody's just ready to get going. From the minor leagues up to the big leagues, everybody just wants to play. And I believe that there should just be some common ground of get back to playing baseball. I mean, everybody's extremely lucky to be in the big leagues or just play professional baseball because they get to play a kid's game for a living, and they get to live out. I can't imagine how many people's dreams. I mean, shoot, I did it. But it's definitely frustrating to see the back and forth and that the players just want to play, and all they want is what is rightfully theirs, I think. And that's just my opinion. I guess I'm biased because I played, but if you play X amount of games, you should get X amount of salary based off of what you were going to earn per game, because they break it down that way even in your contract. So it's definitely frustrating to see that. But hopefully within the next week or so, the owners something figured out to where baseball can get back and everybody can have something to look forward to. I mean, shoot, when golf came back this past weekend, I couldn't imagine how many people just glued to the TV to watch a sporting event to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. Zach Curtis is with us, the head coach at Laredo and a former big league pitcher as well. And just having this discussion, and we've had a lot of discussions about this over the last few weeks, Zach, of what's going on with baseball. The thing that really continues to stand out is just the distrust between the two sides. And I don't understand why that's something that can't be worked through. And I know that the players just want to play and the owners obviously have their part of it, but why do you think there is such a disconnect and how can they fix that?
I think it's kind of that thing where the owners, and you see it even in the minor leagues, that some guys are not players. I'm not Zach Curtis. I am player number, whatever number I am on their depth chart, and they see it that way. And so they're trying to pay the players as possible, but make the most revenue that the owners can. So in a short season like that, it's just one of those things, if they could just find common ground to where they both make their money and both have baseball, because I think it's going to make it even worse if there's no baseball this year coming back to next year. Yeah, it's going to be anticipated. Everybody's going to be extremely hyped up about it. But players going a full year without, and just that spark and that adrenaline, when you get guys back next year, some guys might not have the resources or have the money to go to a training facility and train with the best people and have the best diets, nutrition, strength and stuff. So it might cause more damage next year than good if there's no season. So by having some type of season this year, it gets people's players ready for the following season. So if they could just find some common ground on the money revenue, then I think they can fix that. But I know money separates a lot of people, and it makes people think different ways than they should.
So with all that said, you're now coaching in the purest form of baseball as a high school baseball coach. And again, congratulations on that. What's something that maybe you're the most nervous about that, that you're going to face as a head coach?
I think, and I told them, I had my first team meeting yesterday. And I told the guys, I said, guys, well, one of the first things I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you there's going to be a learning curve for me. I said, even though I played in the big leagues, I played minor league baseball, everything. I said, that does not mean that I'm going to be perfect when it comes to managing a game. And I think what I'm most nervous about is letting my team down by making the wrong decision. But in retrospect to that, that's why I have a great staff on hand. I have two guys. One's a 22-year big leaguer. One has coached in high school baseball for 30-plus years. So I'm definitely going to lean on them for advice, for wisdom. It's not a dictatorship. This is a team. We're a family, and I'm going to lean on every single person. But I'm definitely, instead of just watching the pitcher and the catcher, I'm having to understand shifts. I'm understand outs, outfield shifts, what this guy did last at bat, and just having to really concentrate on every facet of the game for seven innings a night.
Last thing, Zach, give us your best big league story. What was your moment? What's something you'll always remember about being in the bigs?
Man, there's a lot. I mean, I definitely remember I have a couple funny ones. Not even a week into me getting called up, it's first road trip, about the third game in Miami, I come in, and Cole Gillespie's up after I got one out, came back into the next inning, Cole Gillespie's up, and I strike him out. Well, usually they throw the ball out. For some reason, I don't know why they didn't, but they didn't. They threw it back to me, and I'm 23 years old, just got called up 4 or 5 days ago, and I'm like, I'm not going to stop this game and wave the ball down and say, hey, or take this. Well, me, I just said, okay, well, here, maybe I'll strike the next guy out and I can take it in with me. No, first pitch, next to bat, guy fouls it straight off into the stands. Never saw that ball again.
Well, Zach, I got to be honest, it's better than where I thought this was going. I thought you were going to say the first pitch to the next guy was a home run. So.
That would have capped off that experience. But JT Realmuto's up next, and he fouled the ball off. Well, I strike him out in the inning, and Chip Hale was just not yelling at our guys, but just getting on them that baseball, I should have had that. They should have thought about that. No one did, and he gave me the next ball, and I take it. And to make sure I didn't lose this one, I stuck in my back pocket, and I go into the locker room. Well, me not thinking about it, I just kind of get on my phone after I do my arm care and stuff, and I looked for my phone, and they showed a GIF of that, a video of me striking out my first guy. Well, I retweeted it, not even thinking about it, and our PR guy, or HR guy, runs in and said, did you just tweet something? And I just kind of looked at him for a second, and this, like, little kid scared face, I was like, no, I did not. and he said, yes, you did, it's right here, and I had to unretweet it and put my phone down, and I never heard the end of it for about a week about me being – a week into my big league career from the older guys like Paul Goldschmidt, Zach Greinke, Brad Ziegler, they all just gave me heck for tweeting during one of my first big league games.
That's a great story. Hey, hit them straight today. Enjoy the weather. Don't be a stranger on our show, and best of luck at Loretto. We'll talk to you down the road.
I appreciate it, guys. Y'all have a great day.
All right, you too. That is Zach Curtis, former big leaguer, played at MTSU. What a great story. And is now the new head baseball coach at Loretto High School, and his assistant is one David Weathers. Speaking of David Weathers, we haven't talked to him in a long time either. Maybe we should catch up with him here in the very, very near future. My guess is he's probably got thoughts on what's going on with the sport he spent more than two decades playing. We will come back and continue on with our first hour of Darren Donick and Chase next.